the local student and the local servant of this local work, Brother Rob Miller, asked a question. The question that he asked, why do Christians leave the church after being in it for years? So this morning's subtitle for this study is simply, why do Christians leave the church? This morning's study will have four different Bible texts. That's four different Bible texts. The first one we found in 2 John 9. That's 2 John 9 will be the first Bible text. The second Bible text will be John chapter 14 and the verse 6. That's John chapter 14 and the verse 6 for the second Bible text. The third Bible text will be Romans chapter 5 and the verse 2. That's Romans chapter 5 and the verse 2. The fourth Bible text will be Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31. That's Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31. Now, why do Christians leave the church? This is a very serious and important question, one that we should look into. So we start with our first text. That's 2 John 9. That's the second book of John. That is the ninth verse. That's 2 John 9. And it reads, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. So the passage starts off by saying, whosoever. So that includes all of us. That covers all of us. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. So let's break this passage down and see what we can take from it. What God is trying to tell us about 2 John 9. 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth, we know, we've already covered, whosoever, that's talking about all of us. Transgressive. Let's look into that word for a minute. Transgress means someone that is not going to obey the doctrine of Christ. It means breaking a commandment. Breaking Christ's commandment. So whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. This passage is a simple passage. It's a part one and a part two. Part one, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Part one. Part two, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. So, we look at this passage and we see that it has two different parts. One part says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. One is clearly saying, you do not have God. The other, whosoever, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Part two says that you have God and the Father. So, when we look at this morning's study title, why would a Christian leave the church? We have to ask that question for ourselves. And by asking the question ourselves, we simply need to turn over to Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 29. That's Matthew 22 and the verse 29. That's the book of Matthew. That's the 22nd chapter and the 29th verse. The passage reads, and Jesus said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 29. Now, the passage clearly says, "And Jesus said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." So we were over in 2 John 9 as our first text. So does that go to the part of part one? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Or does that go to the part where it says, but he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son? Which part does it go to? You have to answer that for yourselves. So, but note that Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 29 said, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So if you leave the church, then this passage is telling me that you're in error. That's simple. Okay. Stay in Matthew chapter 22 and go down to verses 37 through 40. That's Matthew chapter 22, the verses 37 through 40. That's the book of Matthew. That's the 22nd chapter. That's the 37th verse through the 40th verse. And it reads, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. For this is the first and great commandment. And second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 22, the verses 37 through 40. Now, an individual, a Christian, that is serving God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, is not going to leave the church. Why do Christians leave the church? This passage is clearly saying, and it is at the top of God's commandments. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, if someone, this individual that is a Christian, is doing this, we're not going to leave. God is a master teacher. He knows what we will do, and he knows what we won't do. If you don't believe that, one day open the book of Job and look into that story, which is a true story. Now, turn over to the Hebrew writing. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 9. That's Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 9. That's the book of Hebrews. That's the 5th chapter and the 9th verse. And it reads, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 9. Now, remember our first text is 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. So I must inform you that the Hebrew writer is telling us in Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 9, that being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and all of them that obeyed him. Well, if you leave the church, you are not obeying God. If you leave the church, he is not your author of eternal salvation. That is just as clear and as simple and as plain as it gets. Now, we need to put that back over here in 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Does that go in the first part? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. We must talk about the word abide. Why? Because in 2 John 9, the first part of it says abideth not. The second part says to abide. And when you're abiding, we have to define this word abide because it's in both parts of the text. So when you're looking at the word abide, you want to look at the word means continue. It means remain. It means to stay. Stay fast. That's what it's talking about. If you stay in the teachings of Christ, if you stay in his doctrine, if you stay in his law, guess what? You're not going to leave the church. Our second text. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 14 and the verse 6. That's John chapter 14 and the verse 6. That's the book of John. That's the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. And it reads, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is our second text. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, then let's look at this. Jeremiah, can you help me out? Turn your Bibles over to Jeremiah chapter 10 and the verse 23. That's Jeremiah chapter 10 and the verse 23. That's the book of Jeremiah. That's the 10th chapter and the 23rd verse. And it reads, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not man that walketh to direct his own steps." Jeremiah chapter 10 and the verse 23. What are you trying to tell us, Jeremiah? Jeremiah is telling us we don't know the way to get to heaven. We have not been to heaven. We know how to get to our homes. We know how to get to our work. We know how to get to our any other place that we want to go. But we don't know how to get to heaven if it's not through Jesus Christ. The second text passage says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's our second text. So we have to go through Jesus Christ. We all know this. But Jeremiah pointed out the way. The only way is through him. Man's way is so many different complex ways. We complicate things. Christ simplifies it. Now, we've covered the way. Let's talk about the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Turn your Bibles over to Acts. Acts chapter 4, the verses 11 and 12. That's Acts chapter 4, the verses 11 and 12. That's the book of Acts. That's the fourth chapter. That's the 11th and the 12th verse. And it reads, "This is the stone which instead of none of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts chapter 4, the verses 11 and 12. That covers the truth. That is the only way, even in our text of John chapter 14 and the verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way." We've covered that. "I am the truth." We just covered that. Let's cover the life. Turn your Bibles back in the front of John. John chapter 3 and the verse 16. That's John chapter 3 and the verse 16. That's the book of John. That's the third chapter and the 16th verse. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John chapter 3 and the verse 16. Well, there it covers the life. So why would a Christian want to leave the way? Why would a Christian want to leave the truth? Why would a Christian want to leave the life? We're going to get to that. Moving right along to the third text of this morning's study. It's found in Romans. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 2. That's Romans chapter 5 and the verse 2. That's the book of Romans. That's the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse. And it reads, "By whom also we have access by faith in this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Romans chapter 5 and the verse 2. Now this is our text. This is our third text. So, I have a question. When it says, by whom we also have access by faith in his grace and where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. My first question is, who is the we? It says, by whom we have access by faith in his grace. Who's the we? Let me help you out here about the we. The we is those that are in the church. That is who the we is. So I have to ask you, when you sit here and you think about Romans chapter 5 and the verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith in his grace and where we stand and rejoice of the hope of the glory of God. I got to, who's your access? Who is your access? I can't hear you. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20. That's Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20. That's the book of Galatians. That is the second chapter and the 20th verse. And it reads, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20. Who is your access? I still don't hear it. Who is your access? Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 16. The verses 13 through 18. That's Matthew chapter 16. Your verses 13 through 18. That is the book of Matthew. That is the 16th chapter, the 13th through the 18th verse. And it reads, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said that thou art John the Baptist. Some said that thou art Elias. Others, Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. But Jesus said unto them, who say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16, the verses 13 through 18. Our access is Christ. That's who our access is. We have to be mindful as a Christian. We have to live in that access. When we live in that access, and the reason why I'm saying this, we all know that are here this morning, the world in which we live in is a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. We understand that there are so many situations or problems that befit us on a daily basis. That's what we're living in this world today. So, moving right along, we sit back and we think about, why would a Christian leave the church? Well, you know, I have to answer that by going over to Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23. That's Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23. That's the book of Romans. That's the third chapter and the 23rd verse. And it reads, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23. So, why would a Christian leave the church? Well, it's confession time. The reason why I say it's confession time, when you listen to the passage in Romans 3 and the verse 23, and it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the only one that is excluded in that passage is deity. And if you're not deity, you are included, not excluded. So, I said it was confession time. And it is. This study, early on, I made the point of, when Brother Rob asked this question, this is an experience of mine. And what I'm getting to is, I left the church one time. Yes. And when I left the church, I have to put it in my own reasons. Okay? I can't answer it for you, but I can answer it for me. I left the church for the reasons that I had one foot in the church and I had another foot in the world. Worldliness was the reason I left the church. Now, I have to give you some book on worldliness, because this morning's study touches on the very basis of it. So when you look at worldliness, you must go over to 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 16. That's 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 16. That's the first book of John. That is the second chapter and the 16th verse. And it reads, "For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world." 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 16. What did I gain from leaving the church? Not a single thing. Trouble was on every hand. What did I gain? Nothing. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 26. That's Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 26. That's the book of Matthew. That's the 16th chapter and the 26th verse. And it reads, "For what did it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or in exchange of his soul?" Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 26. Now, when we're touching on certain situations on why a Christian would leave the church and why it's so personal to me, is turn over to Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 10. That's Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 10. That's the book of Galatians. That's the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. And it reads, "As ye therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith." I want you to underline "all men" and underline "household of faith." Now, thanks be to God that the time that I left the church, that I had a mentor in the gospel, which is the individual that taught me the gospel. He was the local servant, which I was a member of that local work that he was the local servant of. Not only was he the preacher at that local work, he also was my best friend. And not only was he my best friend, he was my biological father. Now, he didn't ask me the question that I'm asking you this morning. He didn't ask me, "Why would you leave the church?" That was not his question. He didn't ask me that. He knew my situation. He knew what I was going through with my struggles. He knew. So you know what he asked me? "Are you planning to return to the church?" And I am so thankful that he knew the right question to ask me. Now, which brings us to our fourth text. Turn your Bibles over to Isaiah. Isaiah, the Messianic prophet, can you help me out? Turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31. That's Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31. And it reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They should run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint." Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31. Now let's break this passage down. We start from the beginning. "But they that wait upon the Lord." The reason why I left the church, or the reason that anyone leaves the church, is because of the simple fact they stopped waiting on the Lord. I know I did. I didn't deny myself. What do you mean deny yourself? If you stop waiting upon the Lord, you start waiting on yourself. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 24. That's Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 24. That's the book of Matthew. That's the 16th chapter and the 24th verse. And it reads, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his own cross, and follow me." Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 24. When I left the church, I was not thinking about it. I was not thinking about following God. I was thinking about following myself. I got caught up. And when we get caught up, sometimes we need to reflect ourselves. We need to work it out. The latter part of Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 12 says, "Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling." And God means every bit of it. We need to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Back to Isaiah 40 And the verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We already covered the waiting on the Lord. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're denying yourself. Well, those that wait upon the Lord, we understand that you are serving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. The passage in Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How are you renewing your strength? Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. That's Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 13. That's the book of Philippians. That's the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. And it reads, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Well, there's your strength right there. Moving right along with Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, but those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings as eagles. You want to mount some wings up? Turn your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 1, the verses 5 through 8. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, the verses 5 through 8. That is the second book of Peter. That's the first chapter. That is the 5th verse through the 8th verse. And it reads, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you where you're neither burned or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 5 through 8. There's your wings. Now, Isaiah said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up wings as eagles. They should run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. I cannot help to think about the Christian walk. What we as individuals sometimes forget is that if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, you're still going to have troubles. You're still going to have trials and tribulations. You're still going to have problems. How do I know this? Because the book of life tells me this. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. That's Job chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, man born of woman is but a few days full of trouble. Job 14 and 1. That passage is clearly saying that you're going to have problems. So, I cannot help to thank the Christian walk. Who sums up the Christian walk? In my mind, when you think of a Christian walk, I can't help to think about the second king of Israel. When he said, he made the comment, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know where I'm going. What sums it up for me when we talk about a Christian walk is think about all the things that befell David. There were so many situations. Starting off as he was a youth and he had to deal with Goliath. Starting off that all of Israel was scared of Goliath. But you know what? David was not scared of Goliath. Why was David not scared of Goliath? Because he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. How did he know the Lord? The Lord said that David was a man after his own heart. So he did not think about Goliath. He just thought about who was defying the armies of the living God. He thought about the time when he was shepherding the flock, that when a bear and a lion came and scat one of his sheep, he said straight up to give God the praise. He said, you know what? When I turned around and smoked the bear and the lion, he said, it wasn't me. It was God. He delivered them into my hands. So when we're going through our trials and our tribulations, we need to think that God will also deliver us. God will. We just have to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. And when we're doing this, we are taking our Christian walk. So the 23rd Psalm sums it up for me. The 23rd Psalm sums it up for me. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalms. Now, when you're going through your Christian walk, think about the conclusion of what David had to say. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where else would you want to be? So if that is what you want, if that is what you need, then you need to hear some things. First, Acts 15:7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, we know how a good while ago that God made choice among the Gentiles by my mouth that we should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You need to also believe. That was Acts 15:7. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to believe him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. You also need to repent. Luke 13:3. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. You also got to confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever confess me before men, he will also confess before my Father which art in heaven. And the latter verse 33. But whosoever deny me before men, he will also deny before my Father which art in heaven. After you have turned around and confessed that he is Christ, there's something else that you must do. You must go into the watery grave of baptism. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What is it for? Acts 2:38. Help me out, Peter. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. It does not stop there. A Christian walk does not stop there when you come out of the water grave of baptism and you're a new creature. It doesn't stop there. You got to live faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou suffer. Behold, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. I've heard many individuals make the comment, I can't do that. Well, this is what you need to understand. You understand that that Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We got that. Well, you also understand if you make a mistake, don't wobble in it. Correct it. If you know there's a hole there, don't keep falling in it. Go around it. It's that simple. Now, I leave you with one last passage. That passage is found over in 2 Corinthians 5:1. That's 2 Corinthians 5:1. That's the second book of Corinthians. That's the 5th chapter and the 1st verse. And it reads, for we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house that's not made of hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. So, if there are those that would like the prayers of the church, if there are those that would like to confess sin, if there are those that would like to be added to the church and go into the watery grave of baptism and become a new creature, now is your time, because the invitation is yours. Why don't you come?